Hello, everyone. Hello, it's George from Isla. So, looking forward to the, well, not looking forward, considering the possibility of a Trump victory the first Tuesday in November. It's not very long to go now. So, could he be re-inaugurated president on the 20th of January, 2025, serve his second term? And there's a considerable light chance that he will. I give it a 40% chance. Obviously, there are a number of variables at play between now and then. Is he going to drop dead, or Biden drop dead, or either be incapacitated by ill health? What else could emerge? I don't think any more scandal could emerge on Trump that would change the minds of a significant number of his followers, or indeed more convictions. That would hurt him a little bit. But anyway, there's at least a very considerable chance that he'll win. And the second term is supposed to be his last. But as he's always lying and claiming that he did win in 2020, was denied that. He says he should be allowed another shot, three terms, blah, blah, blah. Constitution could be changed, amended so he gets unlimited terms. He's admired President Xi for doing that in the People's Republic of China. So notice his instinct is to kowtow to tyrants because, of course, he fantasized about having that unchecked legal authority. He doesn't like being constrained by the United States Constitution. But would he abandon Ukraine? Because he often made noises about that, that they're funding Ukraine too much. People like Ted Cruz, still a big beast in the Republican Party. Senator Cruz said he couldn't agree to fund Ukraine while America's southern border is left unguarded and there are more illegal immigrants crossing over. Of course, there are some illegal immigrants crossing over, always have, always shall. I don't know if there's been a particular uptick. I'm not saying there hasn't been. I've not been watching it that closely. But even Ted Cruz said he found it difficult, but he did eventually vote against funding for Ukraine. But enough Republicans like Mike Johnson in the end voted for this. That's what the $61 billion aid package went through in April. But Trump stopped speaking out against it because he's never guided by morality, common decency, his only self-interest. He calculated it in the long run. It was more injurious to the Republican cause to starve Ukraine of funding. So he wouldn't mind betraying anyone. He backstabs people all the time. So I'm sure he'd happily throw the Ukrainians under a bus. But even he recognized it might jeopardize U.S. security if they did so. That would embolden America's foes, which is, say, Russia, China, North Korea, otherwise, despite him falling in love, in his own words, with an egregiously sadistic tyrant, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea. But, you know, Russians have openly talked about attacking the United States, trying to retake Alaska and so forth. It would really undermine America's reputation for honoring its word, standing by its friends, because, of course, the United States in the Budapest Memorandum and other declarations has vowed to assist Ukraine with security, not to fight for them, but to fund them, to arm them and so forth. So that's why I think it's unlikely that Trump would abandon them. The other thing is, you look at that deal that he made with the Taliban, that the Taliban would no longer attack the NATO coalition in Afghanistan, so long as the United States and NATO countries, they completed their pullout by the end of September 2021. Now, by that stage, of course, Joe Biden was president, not Donald Trump. So Joe Biden had the unenviable choice as in to implement the agreement or to tear it up and the conflict go on really without end in sight. But he chose to abide by that deal. That obviously didn't stop Trump denouncing it, even though it was his deal was being put into action. And I don't see how it'd have been any better if Trump was in charge rather than Biden. I suppose the one, you know, these sort of chaotic scenes, okay, a few American soldiers were killed in a suicide bombing at the airport, but had they stayed till now, these years later, how many more would have been killed? Was the right decision, wrong decision? It was Trump's decision. And if Trump was there for a second term, would he have not have followed through in his deal? I think there's every indication he would. Incidentally, Joe Biden, when he was vice president under Obama, was said to privately think the United States ought to withdraw from Afghanistan. He didn't perceive any advantage arising in the United States by remaining there. So one of the few things in which he has actually a principled agreement with Donald Trump. But Donald Trump was obviously utterly cynical, utterly dishonest in trying to exploit this what happened in the pullout. Because, of course, it was assumed that when the United States withdrew, the fairly well-armed Afghan National Army would be able to hold on, you know, at least for a few years. Because when the Soviets pulled out of Afghanistan in 1989, to the surprise of many, to the chagrin of some, the Afghan government, the communist regime there, did not collapse. Its survival was like 4 years. But were the United States to pull the plug on Ukraine? Now, the European allies actually could sufficiently arm and fund Ukraine. They're probably too stingy. They're probably too short-sighted. But they definitely have the economic capacity to do so. But it might well lead to a Ukrainian defeat, collapse, Russia managing to keep de jure de facto even more of Ukraine than they were legally occupying before the 24th of February 2022. And that would be a success for them. That would be a definite defeat for American foreign policy. And so a lot of that would come back on Trump. It would severely undermine NATO. Remember, a lot of this dispute goes back to the Ukrainian desire to come under the NATO security umbrella and the Russians' desire to prevent the Ukrainians having this protection. So because it would look so bad for the United States, that's why I think Trump is unlikely to abandon them. On the other hand, obviously, the power of the purse is with the United States Congress, not with President Trump. So the United States Congress could vote through a funding package for him to sign. Now, he could refuse to sign that. That could be overrided by a supermajority of both houses of Congress. But I can't think of a time when that's ever happened. If a funding package was put to him, he didn't want to sign, he would probably cave into pressure, though. He usually does. All this about being tough, never backing down, he does back down. He does give in. Remember that never surrender about him being arrested? He did surrender himself. Or, you know, when he shut down the government funding, when was it, in January 2029, over border security, and absolutely wasn't going to sign, and he caved in, and he did sign, he did refund the government after a few days. Or the separating children, the children in cages, no, they absolutely had to do this for border security, state of emergency, and he gave in. So he does succumb to pressure. He often tries to swagger and project this image of someone who's a man of iron resolve. Well, no, he doesn't have the willpower, and he will collapse. So I don't think he would refuse to sign that forever if that were put to him. So but even if Trump is in office, one of both houses of Congress would be in the hands of the Democrats, or could be in the hands of the Democrats. I mean, actually, my prediction is that it'd be more or less the same result as before, that Joe Biden will be reelected, and the Democrats will still have the Senate, just, but won't quite have the House of Representatives. I think the Republicans will retain it by a couple of seats. And I really do mean two. I think a wafer thin majority. So I might have to revise that prediction nearer the time. So that's why it's not all dismal news with the Ukrainians. It's actually quite a rosy situation. All that Czech-led initiative to purchase 155mm shells, the NATO standard artillery shells, on world markets is coming to fruition. Some of those shells have already arrived. The Ukrainians saying that now the Russians are going to fire only 5 shells for every one they fire. It used to be 10 to 1 a few months ago. The situation is probably not quite as grim as the Ukrainians say, because they don't want the Europeans to slack off and not arm them so much. And this should be prime campaigning season. If the war was going well for Russia, they may be making serious ground now, and they're making virtually none. Even they are hardly boasting of taking a hamlet, because this is the idyllic time to go forward. August obviously can still go forward, but it's so hot that maybe don't do quite as much as in June. So that's why it's actually a rather optimistic scenario for the Ukrainians at the moment. Right. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.